Okay, praise God. We thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to His word. And indeed, it is not by might, it is not by power, but it is by the Spirit of God, and each and every day He helps us. And we've been examining the life of this man who we call Brother Saul. And yesterday, by the grace of God, we were able to settle on the aspects that show us that how he was welcomed as a brother, how Ananias was able to be obedient to God, that God told him, go, this is my chosen vessel, that he shall declare my name to Gentiles, to the kings, and to the children of Israel, and I will show him the things that he must suffer. And immediately Ananias, who was a believer, who was a disciple, goes and tells him, Saul, the Lord who appeared to me on the road to Damascus has sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So what we see is that he already welcomed him as a brother, although it wasn't as easy, and God had to speak to Ananias in a vision to do so. We also are able to see that even when he started to preach in Damascus, people started to ask questions. Is this not the same man who persecuted this same gospel that he is preaching? And even when he goes to Jerusalem, we find that the believers did not believe him. Of course, there are those who are angry with him. There are those who did not, who remember that he's the one who killed their brothers and sisters and family members, until Brother Barabbas, who is the son of Barnabas, who is the son of consolation or encouragement, who went and brought Saul to the apostles and gave them the story of how he had been converted and eventually was accepted. But I wanted us today to examine this call that Saul was given and to see what was his immediate response to it. And ideally for me, I think that the key phrase that comes to me, that he was not, Saul himself described, or Paul, that I was not disobedient to the heavenly calling and or to the heavenly vision. And this is really a question that, you know, many times people always ask, oh God, I want to know your will. Oh God, I want to know what is the vision that you have for me. Oh God, I want to know what is your desire for in this relationship, or your desire in this marriage, or your desire, what job do you want me to do? But then when God reveals that, then they are not obedient. And that is a challenge that we have. Many who are called, many who have received the call, but very many are not doing that call. They are not fulfilling that call. We saw Jonah yesterday that he was called, yes, but he chose to go in a different direction. Instead of going to Nineveh, because for him, he did not want the people of Nineveh to be forgiven. He knew that if he preached to them, they will be forgiven. And he was not interested in that because he knew the kind of people that they were. Now, let us look at Acts chapter 9. We'll try and examine the three aspects of his response. And then we'll also see some of the testimonies that he gives of himself in other parts of scripture. Now, in Acts chapter 9, we will read at from verse 17. The Bible says, and Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight, and at once he arose and was baptized. And so when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Maybe just to look at verse 15 earlier, it says, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine, or he is my chosen vessel, to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. So from the onset of his call, it is clear that he is going to be a preacher, he is going to proclaim the name of Jesus, he's going to proclaim the name of Jesus to Gentiles, to kings, and to the children of Israel. So he had a cut-out mission. But beyond that also, the Lord says that I will show him how many things that he must suffer for my name's sake. So the Bible says, verse 19, so when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Saul preached Christ. Immediately he preached Christ, the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, is this he, not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem, and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. And now, after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him, but their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down through the wall in a large basket. So the scripture is telling us that immediately that Saul was clear of his eyes, immediately that he was told what he must do, he was clearly told that, you know what, you're going to proclaim my name to Gentiles, to kings, and to the children of Israel. Immediately he started to preach Christ. Remember, Paul was a Pharisee, a former Pharisee. He had been taught under the tutelage of Gamaliel, who was a doctor of the law. It is not that he was not a fisherman, that was not educated, that he will need all this time to start again. But you see, his zeal had been redirected by the Lord, and now he was turning that zeal, and God is able to use all the knowledge of the scriptures that he had, because he had all the knowledge of scripture. And now he is using the same scripture, the same knowledge that he had learned over the years under the doctor of the law, to prove to the disciples in Damascus that Jesus is the Christ. He proved to the Jews that Jesus is Christ and he is the Son of God. And through scripture, and that, remember when Jesus spoke to the disciples from the road to Emmaus, the Bible says, and beginning with the law and the prophets and the writings, he was able to show them how the Christ must suffer, and how this was written in the books. And this is something that Paul, by the wisdom that God gave him, by the training that he had, he is able to immediately start to prove this. And you know, it does not mean that he was safe. Remember, there was already great opposition to the faith, to the people of the way, and he himself was coming to arrest believers. And so it did not make sense that he is preaching the same gospel that he had come to arrest the people of that way. So from the onset, Saul was already ready to risk his life for the sake of the gospel. He had received the heavenly call, and he decided, you know what? What I have met, what I have encountered, what the Lord that I asked, what must I do? I must be obedient to him. Now, I had mentioned earlier that the book of Acts records three times of his conversion. And let us look at Acts chapter 22 and also see what happened and how did Paul respond to that call. Now, in Acts chapter 22, and we will start from verse 17, the Bible says, now it happened when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple that I was in a trance and saw him saying to me, make haste and get out of Jerusalem. Let me just start from verse 13. The Bible says, came to me and he stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that same hour I looked up to him. Then he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth, for you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now it happened when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple that I was in the trance. So he returned to Jerusalem and was praying and was in a trance and saw him saying to me, make haste and get out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. So I said, Lord, they know that in every synagogue I imprisoned and beat those who believed on you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I was also standing by, consenting to his death and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. Then he said to me, depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles. And verse 22, and they listened to him until this word, and then they raised their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for he is not fit to live. Then as they cried out, they tore their clothes and threw dust into the air. Then the commander ordered him to be brought into the barracks, and he wanted to be questioned. Why were the crowd shouting? Now, you can see that Paul recounts what happens. He recounts that, you remember, he preached in Damascus, immediately preached. Then he went to Jerusalem. There was a struggle for them to receive him. But then when he was in Jerusalem, God tells him, look here, these people will not receive your testimony. The Jews are not going to receive your testimony. So I'm going to send you far to the Gentiles. That is telling you that God already knew that the Jews will not accept. He knew that, yes, this was part of his call. But since he knew that the people were not ready and they were not going to receive that calling, he tells him, now I am sending you far to the Gentiles. So you can see at each and every point, yes, he has a call. Yes, he is obedient. Yes, he is ready to face persecution, to face beatings, to face discouragement. And he knows that at each and every point, everywhere he goes, he is going to suffer for the sake of Christ. Now, let us look at another part, Acts chapter 26, verse 1 to 3. Then Agrippa said to Paul, Paul, you are permitted to speak for yourself. And this is a king. So now this is also where we see that he is speaking to kings. Then Agrippa said to Paul, Paul, you are permitted to speak for yourself. So Paul stretched out his hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because today I shall answer for myself before you concerning all the things of which I am accused by the Jews, especially because you are expert in all customs and questions which have to do with the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to hear me patiently. Now let us look at Acts 26, verse 12. The Bible says, while thus occupied, I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests. At midday, O king, along the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard the voice speaking to me, saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the bricks. Now let us jump to verse 16. It says, but rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. And I will deliver you from the Jewish people, which is what we have seen. God told him, leave Jerusalem. These people will not receive your testimony. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom now I send you. So you can see the call of God is repeated. Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel, and to the Gentiles to whom I now send you to open their eyes in order to turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sin and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Verse 19, therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision or to the heavenly call, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works befitting of repentance. For this reason, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand witnessing to both small and great, saying no other things than that which the prophets and Moses said will come, that the Christ will suffer, he will be the first to rise from the dead, and will proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. Now as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are besides yourself. Much learning is driving you mad. Can you imagine how until people called him mad? He must be mad. And he said, but he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. Now, just picture that. He is preaching before kings until they even tell him, look here, you are beside yourself. You are mad. You are running mad. And he tells him, I am not mad. But you see, all that he labored, he does not consider that he labored it out of his effort. And that's why when you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9, the Bible says, for I am the least of the apostles who am not worthy to be called an apostle. Why? Because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So you can see it, Paul says that, you know what, even though I consider myself the least of the apostles, because I persecuted the church, I labored for the gospel all the more abundantly. That means he was persistent. But he says that even though I labor, it was not I that labored, but it was God's grace that was towards me that enabled me to labor. So grace does not mean that you don't labor, but you labor knowing that it is by the grace of God. And let us look at also the examples of his suffering. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. For from the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Then he says, who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? If I must boast, I must boast in the things which concern my infirmity. The God of our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under Artetas, the king, was guarding the city of Damascenes with a garrison, desiring to arrest me, but I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hands. Look at how he even got out of Damascus. The king was waiting for him in Damascus, but then he was let out through a basket. And remember now, there are so many examples. Think of even in Acts chapter 20, where a prophet comes and tells them that, you know what, the owner of this belt, Acts chapter 21, in verse 10, the Bible says, as we stayed many days, a certain man, prophet named Agabus, came down from Judea, and when he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Now when we heard these things, both we and those who from that place pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. So when he will not be persuaded, we cease saying, the will of the Lord be done. There's also a part where he says that the Holy Spirit tells me that everywhere I go, yeah, this is Acts chapter 20, verse 21, verse 23, Acts chapter 20, verse 23, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Picture this man and the determination that he has. He receives a heavenly call, and the call, the vision is very clear. You will preach my name to Gentiles, to kings, and to the children of Israel. And beyond that, I will show you the things that you must suffer for my name's sake. And he has listed, he has been beaten, he has been scourged, he has been in the sea, he has been in robbers, he has been attacked by wild animals, he has fought wild beasts. He has gone through all these troubles. In fastings, he is burdened by the church, and he is even warned by a prophet that, look here, the person who goes will be bound hand and feet in Jerusalem. And he says, I am ready to go and even die. And he says, the Holy Spirit testifies to me that in every city that I go, chains and tribulations and trials await me. And he says, but none of these things move me. I know nowadays, if you tell anyone, oh, that you have been called to suffering, someone will say, under my feet, I refuse that. But you see, this is a man who knew that God has called him to preach the gospel, to be a witness, and he knew that it will come with suffering. And in every city, the Spirit testifies to him that this is awaiting you. And he says, you know what? I'm ready. I am ready for it. What is God calling us to do? What has God been speaking to us of our lives? And are we obedient to that call? And that's why the Bible says, many are called, but few are chosen. Many people receive the call, but few are ready to be obedient to that call, because the call comes with a price. Ministry has sacrifice. Ministry has a price to it. There's a price to obedience. There's a price that God will demand of us. Salvation, yes, he paid that price. But for the labors of the kingdom, we also will have a price to pay. But let us be certain in this, that this price will not be borne on our own efforts alone. The grace of God will enable us. God is looking for obedient people. And obedience does not mean comfort to us, but it means that there is a reward for us, that if we are faithful to it, God will give us that crown that awaits us. I'll stop here, and I pray that God will give us insight into his word. My brother, you're welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Manuel, for your work. Also, the account and journey still fascinates me, and it's a very amazing story. There are many lessons to learn from it whenever you read about it. And liking how you're connecting it from his journeys to his communication and encounters in the different cities. But the one thing I was also seeing is, you know, when Paul went to Damascus, actually other than the suffering that God had promised him, he also had the responsibility of cleansing his reputation. He enters Damascus and he has that reputation. So even as he was preaching, there was doubt among those that were listening. Like, isn't this the man? you know, could he just be hoodwinking us? I imagine thought was going in the minds there.
Yeah.
But again, the Bible tells us that let your life depict that rich. I think Paul understood it. And when he said yes to Jesus Christ, he did not only say yes to follow, but also to change his life. And even those that were doubting it eventually saw that the man has indeed changed.
Yeah.
He's living what he's preaching. You see? And that warned him. He warned him followers, warned him people who trusted him. Yeah. That's how him being saved from Damascus, you know, by believers who eventually now trusted him. But when he went to Jerusalem, he encounters the same problem, no? You see? But then maybe tomorrow you talk about the man Barnabas, who he encounters there, and then takes him through and handles him and takes him to the believers. And I pray that we all get that Barnabas in our lives as new believers. Someone who will take us, who will introduce us to believe, someone who will be with us, mainly for the new Christians out there. We need that person, you know. So, yes, I think that's what I could say about this, but it's very interesting.
Amen. Oh, indeed, Saul is always one of the greatest stories of conversion, and we have a lot to learn from him because we all have the same story. I mean, whenever you give your life to Jesus, no one believes that you have truly changed. And they're saying, we'll give you 2 days. Then they give you 1 week. Then they give you 1 month. Then they realize this is a lifetime. This is a lifetime. And this is really a challenge to all of us, that the worst of sinners can become the greatest of apostles just when they encounter the Lord. And let us never write off anyone. And those that have changed, let us welcome them as brothers. You can see how they're calling Brother Saul. But, you know, people might not accept it at the beginning. And it is well. Not everyone will accept your call. And that is why, you know, Jesus tells him, don't worry, live here. These ones, they will not receive your message. Go to the Gentiles. There are people who are called to you. If the people you have come to who know you as the person who raves and who does all these things and who has been womanizing and now you are trying to preach to them, if they don't receive you, it is okay. There are people who will receive you, and God will show you those that are called to you. So being rejected by people does not mean you're not called, and suffering does not mean you're not called, and you know, all these discouragements does not mean you're not called. It's just to hear the voice of God and to be obedient to the call of God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you. We honor your holy name. I thank you for your challenge this morning that we need to be obedient to the call. And this call is individual. It does not need us to compare ourselves with others, to compare ourselves, popularity, and all these things. Our calls may call us to places that are discomfort, that call for suffering. But Lord, indeed, at the end of the day, you demand our faithfulness. And there is a reward that is available and awaits those that believe, those that are obedient, those that stay faithful to the heavenly call. I pray for faithfulness in our lives. Give us the grace, give us the ability. May we experience your spirit in everything that we do. I remember our family members, our children, our loved ones, any that are sick, any that need a breakthrough for jobs, for opportunities, for marriage, for children, oh God, that you open the way and the Lord, you bring them to the truth and to the revelation and to the manifestation of that which they desire of you. This day is ordered and blessed of you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Shalom. Blessed, blessed day.